Ladies, for that powerful song, and it's so good to be with you today. Judges chapter 6, as we just read, Judges chapter 6, and if I look a little bit off, it's because, to be honest, I haven't really been in very many Sunday morning services like this for the past 5 years. I was at Bible college, and I was in the bus ministry and did children's church, and then I came here, and I got right into children's church. So it's a little bit odd for me to be in a Sunday morning service and just to be able to see a large crowd like this and not little children. So I'll try to be on an adult level today. Hopefully my illustrations aren't too much child level, but we'll see what the Lord has for us today. Judges chapter 6. As Brother Grant said, my name is Christopher Gray. I'm originally from Michigan, the church that Pastor John was at for 15 years. That's where I was from. And he led me to the Lord when I was a five-year-old boy, and I got to grow up with him and his family, and he's been an integral part of my life. And I've told many people this, but outside of my father, no man has probably had more influence on my life than Pastor John. And I'm so grateful for him, and I'm so thankful that now I get to work alongside him and work for him here at Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. And this place has become home, and I love it here. And you guys, you have made me feel right at home from the first week I was here. And I love teaching in the school and children's ministry, and it's just a joy to be in such a lovely part of the country, right? Martinsburg, West Virginia, very beautiful, and the mountains and the scenery, I love it here. And I'm just so thankful that God has called me here to be at Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church and to work alongside you folks. And it is a great joy. It is a great joy. Judges 6. Judges 6. You know, imagine with me, you know, it's the holiday season, right? And a lot, maybe not for people here, but a lot of people, they travel. And whether it's by car or by airplane, just imagine with me that you have to take a flight somewhere, okay? So we have to take a flight, and you get to the airport, and because you don't want to miss your flight, probably there an hour or two early, and you're sitting there at your gate, and all of a sudden, you're sitting there, and the announcer comes over, and the person at that gate desk, they call your name. And whenever that happens, I start to sweat because I'm like, oh no, what did I do this time? Did they see my bag? Is it too big? Did I get kicked off this flight? What is going on? And all these thoughts are racing through your mind, and they call you to the gate desk, and you get there, and the lady there at the desk, she says, congratulations, you've been upgraded to first class. Whew, man. What a sigh of relief, right? I mean, first you're worried that you're not even going to make it on the flight, and now you're upgraded to first class, and so you do all the normal boarding routine, and you get to your first class seat, and next to you, or maybe a seat nearby you, you see this person that's a little bit different. I mean, they don't look like your average Joe or some average business person. I mean, they are built. They look like an athlete. And so naturally, you're sitting there. It could be a long flight. I don't know what it is. And I mean, anybody with a curious mind, you see somebody that looks like they're an athlete, I mean, you just have to ask them. You just have to ask them, what do you do? I mean, what is your job? And so in this instance, you ask this person, and they say, well, I play football. I mean, it's football season, and I know Brother Kidwell wants me to get done preaching so he can watch his Commanders lose, but Brother Grant as well. Last week was a good week. I'm a Lions fan, and the Commanders lost, so it was a good week for me. But so you ask this person, and they say, well, I play football. And you ask, well, are you, I mean, like, do you play college football? No, they say, I play in the NFL. Like, whoa, I mean, that's got to be pretty easy, right? I mean, you just have to work on Sunday. I mean, you just show up, you play football on Sunday, and that's it. And they probably chuckle a little bit, and those of us who watch football and know football, you know it takes a little bit more than that. And so perhaps this person, out of the kindness of his heart, he starts to share with you what he has to do to just play one game, 1 hour-long game on Sunday. And for this instance, we'll say he's a quarterback. And they take a little bit extra time. And he says, well, on Monday, I get up, I go to the stadium, and then I have film study, and we have practice, and we go over some stuff. And then Tuesday is an off day for everybody else, but I'm a quarterback, so I have to do some more film study and go through some more practices, and it's a long day for me. And then Wednesday, I follow the same routine. We start to have some practice with the team and go through what we're going to do, have some walkthroughs. Thursday, we do the same thing, and each night I'm going home and I'm studying even more film so that I know what's going on. And Friday and then Saturday, we're doing the same thing. And then finally Sunday, it's the game time, and that's when we play the game. You know, after you sit there and you listen to that person that's playing in the NFL and he's explaining to you all that he does, you start to think in your mind, wow, you know, he knows what he's doing. I mean, he plays football. We would say his purpose right now is to play football. I mean, he spends his whole week preparing for it. He's not just lackadaisical about it. He doesn't just spend a little bit of time. Well, maybe I'll see what the coach has for me, or I'll just wait till game time and he'll tell me the plays. No, he's putting a lot of preparation in. His purpose is to play football. That's what his job is. That's what he's got to do. He plays football. You know what? Everybody here has a purpose. Maybe you're sitting there, well, I don't really know what my purpose is. Well, if most of us are adults here, right? We work a job, and that job has a purpose. You might get a job description. You know, when Pastor John asked me to come work here, he couldn't tell me what my job description was. It was just do whatever. And so I've taken on the title of, I just assist the pastor. I mean, we're assistant pastors, and my job is just to assist the pastor in whatever area it might be. But he said it could be from teaching a class, to pulling weeds, to mowing grass, whatever it is. And we have job descriptions when we work a job. We have a purpose, right? And the same thing as the world has purpose, as our jobs have purpose, God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And I would say that God's purpose for us, it falls in two categories. I would say there's a general purpose for every person, and then there's also specific purposes that he gives to each and every one of us, and a specific call, a specific calling that he gives to all of us. And for general purposes, we could say, well, first of all, our general purpose is salvation, right? The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? God's will is that for every single person that has ever been born on this planet Earth, that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that they don't have to go to that eternal fiery place called hell, but that they could be forever with Him in heaven. I'd say that's a general purpose. Would we not agree that that's a general purpose that God has given to each person, that He wants us to be in heaven? Well, after salvation, perhaps there's the general purpose for each person is to attend church, to be a church attender. I mean, Hebrews says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I mean, I believe Pastor John preached on this a couple of weeks ago about being a faithful church attender. I believe that's a general purpose that God has given to each believer, that we ought to attend church. And I don't think that it's God's will that we just attend Sunday morning. I think the Bible says so much the more as you see the day approaching. I mean, we're closer to Christ's coming than yesterday, right? We're closer than we were a year ago. And so since we're getting closer to that point when Christ is coming, the Bible says we ought to not forsake the assembling even more. And we have church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. We have Sunday school. There's all these different ministries that we can be a part of. We're the Church of Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, where we assemble together. And the Bible is very clear that it is God's will that we as believers ought to be church attenders. We ought to assemble together and not forsake it. So it's a general purpose that God has given us that we ought to come to church, not just Sunday morning. And we just had the Sunday school hour. And our Bible, Adult Bible Fellowship. I mean, it's Sunday school. They just slapped a different name on it, so it'd sound cool for the adults. But it's Sunday school for us, right, where we learn from the Bible, where we're taught the Word of God. And we have Wednesday night Bible study, and all these different areas where we can learn about God's Word. You know, I'd also say for children, for perhaps the young people, the teenagers, God's general purpose for teenagers and for young people is to obey our parents, right? I mean, how many parents are glad for that? That it says in the Bible that children, obey your parents and the Lord. That's a general purpose. That's a general calling that God has given children, is to obey their parents. What about something else? Maybe love. You know, yeah, the Bible says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. It's God's general purpose for His believers, for those who follow Christ, to be people that are filled with love and have love for people. And not to just say, well, you're a little bit different, or I don't agree with everything you say, so I'm just going to hate you. No, that's not what the Bible is all about. Christ loved everybody. And so we ought to be, as believers of Christ, filled with love as well. One of God's general purposes for us is to love everybody. And I'm not saying allowing sin. That's not what I'm saying. The world has misconstrued that when we love people, that means we just accept what they do. No, that's not what I'm saying. But God said that we ought to love the sinner, okay? Love those people that are lost and see a heart for them and that they need the gospel and that they need salvation. That's a general purpose. You know, I'd say one of our general purposes is the Great Commission, to go out into the world and spread the gospel. You know, I'm teaching the book of Acts, and it's been a great joy. Some of the junior hires in here, they've been going through that with me at Martinsburg Christian Academy. And we learned about how the people in Jerusalem, they did not follow that Great Commission. And so persecution came so that they could get spread abroad. And then Paul is used by God as well to reach Macedonia and the beginning of the European continent. And God's general purpose for each and every believer is to reach other people for Christ. Not just to sit in a pew and then go home and live the rest of your week. No, God's general purpose is that every person ought to reach other people for Christ. That's a general purpose. And so, church, today I just want to look at God's Word and just remind you that it's time that we follow God's purpose for our life. And not just general purpose, and we're going to go through some principles about how we can solidify God's purpose in our life. Because Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, it's time to get it. You know, it's not just for the world to have a purpose to play a sport, or to work for a company, or to attain something on social media. The church ought to be more motivated than any fleshly, worldly, lost person in the world. We ought to be more motivated for Christ than anybody else. But so often we see people in the world and they're motivated by money or by fame or something else, and they have a much more determination to accomplish something than believers in the church for Christ. And shame on us that somebody in the world can be more determined to play football or some other sport or some other thing than we do to just reach our neighbor for Christ. Shame on us. And I'm preaching to myself here. I'm not excluded from this. And shame on us when somebody else is more determined to do something than we are for Christ. So church, it's time that we get it. It's time that we get God's purpose for our life. You know, the book of Judges, it's an interesting time in the Bible. It's interesting. I mean, they were in captivity, and then Moses led them out, and then they wandered 40 years, and then Joshua led them into the promised land, I mean, where they were supposed to be at, where God wanted them to be, the promised land for Abraham, and they finally make it. Man, they're there, and they're commanded. Their general purpose, we could say, for Israel right then and there, their general purpose was to conquer the land that God had given them. That was their job. It was to take over that land that God had given them. And so they go in, and God told Joshua many times, "Fear not, I'm with you. Don't worry about it. You're going to be able to take care of all these wicked people that are in this land. You can take them out, and we'll have the land for Israel." And so Joshua and the people, they start to go through. They start to conquer the nations that are in there, and the nations start to fall. And you get to the end of the book of Joshua, and it's a lot of triumph. I mean, there's a lot of victory there in the book of Joshua. And just nation after nation is falling to Israel, and God is doing something great. Then we get to the book of Judges, and the book of Judges, it almost carries on what's going on in the book of Joshua. There's a lot of victory, but we see here that Joshua passes away. In chapter 2, he passes away. And so Joshua has now passed off the scene, and it says that the children of Israel, they continued to follow after God because there were some elders that had seen the Red Sea and all that God had worked there. But after that happened, the Israelites, they started to, we could say, lose their purpose. We see in chapter 2, they start to fall away from what God has called them to do. They start to, oh, well, we don't really need to conquer them. We can just put them into subjection. We can rule over them. They can give us money. We can get something out of it. They start to deviate. They start to go away from what God has called them to do, to utterly destroy the Canaanites, to just wipe them out. They start to deviate and get away from that. And so now that we'll just leave them. Or the Bible even says that some of them said they had chariots of iron, so it was too hard for them to go in and take them out. And nothing is too hard for God, church. God is able to accomplish anything. Okay, so they had a misconstrued concept of God. I mean, they just saw him take down Jericho and all these other nations, but some chariots of iron, that's a little bit too hard for God. That's a little foolish, wouldn't you think? And so they start to get away from what God has called them to do. And because of that, God says, fine, if you're not going to do what I asked you to do, then I'm just going to let those nations be there, and they're going to be a thorn to your side. Be a thorn to your side. And so we can see here, and we see illustrated in chapter 6, if you turn to the beginning of chapter 6, we see what happens when we have a lack of purpose, when we have a lack of purpose from God. Well, we see here that lack of purpose causes chaos. Lack of purpose causes chaos. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Now, this was the fourth time that they had been taken over by some other nation. I mean, there was Othniel. He was a judge that God raised up to deliver them from some people that were oppressing them. And then there was Ehud, and then there was Deborah and Barak. And so this is the fourth time that the Israelites have been now taken over by another nation because they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And verse 2, it says, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are strongholds in the mountains and caves and strongholds. So these children of Israel, they're hiding. I mean, there's like the Midianites are coming through. If you continue to read on through verses all the way to verse 6, you see that the Midianites are going through and they're destroying the crops. They're destroying the farms that the Israelites have. They're losing their food, and they're losing their homes, so much so that they're hiding in caves and dens. They're making things so they can get away from these Midianites. Because of their lack of purpose, because they got away from what God asked them to do, not their specific, but just general, just something general that God told them to do, to take out the Israelites, because they lost sight of what God called them to do, there starts to be some chaos in the land. And mark it down, church, when we lose God's general call on our life, when we lose, when we get away from the general things that God has called us to do, there's probably going to be some strife and some chaos in our life. Now, I'm not preaching prosperity gospel. If you follow everything God does for you, then you're going to be rich and wealthy. That's not what I'm saying. But we can have peace from the Lord when we follow Him. In Israel, there is no peace right now. I mean, there's just pure chaos going on. They don't have food. They don't have homes. They're hiding. They're getting killed. They're getting taken away. It's a chaotic time for Israel. And church, when we get away from just those general things that God has for us, mark it down, some troubling times are going to come. You might be fine for a little bit, and there's pleasure in sin for a season, but it catches up to you, and it catches up to Israel here, and there's a chaotic time. Look also, lack of purpose causes confusion. Look at chapter 6, verse 13. We read that together just a moment ago. It says, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, verse 12, he said the angel told Gideon, that the Lord was with him. And Gideon says in verse 13, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, Why then has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. I mean, Gideon is confused about who God is. He's like, is God really strong enough to protect us? I mean, where is he? Where are these stories that we've heard about coming through the land of Egypt and providing for the children of Israel and in the wilderness and then coming in and destroying the city of Jericho and all these other great triumphs? It's like, where is this God? Because I don't know where he's at. Gideon is confused about God. And when we get away from God's general purpose for our life, we get confused about who he is. And then you start to deviate into maybe some false doctrines and some other things because you're trying to use man's reason to reason with God. And God doesn't have to follow by man's reason. He transcends our reason. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our way. And when we get away from God's general purpose for our life, there's going to be some confusion about who God is and what he can do for us. And we see it here. We see it here. But also, look, a lack of purpose. I had to use a C word because I used chaos, confusion. Lack of purpose is caused by, this is an adult level word, okay? It's caused by contravention, which just means disobedience, okay? I had to use a fancy word so it could be a C. So lack of purpose is caused by contravention or disobedience. Okay, let's look back at chapter 6, verse 7. Chapter 6, verse 7. And it says, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. Okay, well, they realized there was something wrong, so finally they reach out to God. And it says that the Lord sent money. No, he sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Their lack of purpose is not caused by some outside source. Their lack of purpose is self-inflicted, and it's caused because of disobedience. They didn't obey what God told them to do, and so they lost their calling on their life. Man, I just feel like I'm wandering aimlessly. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. Well, if you start following God's general purpose, if they had just followed God's general purpose for their life, then they wouldn't be confused about what they were supposed to do. They wouldn't be oppressed by these people. But because they got away from what God called them to do, now there's a chaotic time and they're confused, and it's all caused because they just didn't obey. Wow. What? I mean, all I have to do is obey what God tells me to do in his word? Yeah? I mean, we have the Bible in the English language, right, Brother Kidwell? It's in English. Thank God we have the Bible in the English language, right? There are countries and there are people who do not have the scripture in their native tongue, and it might be hard for them to learn from God's words, but there is no excuse for Americans to not know what God has for them. There is no excuse for us at Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church to be confused about what God wants you to do. We just said, I believe God wants each and every one of us to be in attendance at church. I believe that God wants each and every one of us to love one another. I believe that it's God's general purpose that we ought to be tithing people. Oh no, money. Oh yeah, we ought to be tithing. You know what? There's even more than tithing. There's giving offerings outside of tithing. We just had missions conference and we have faith promise, where we give by faith. And I tell you what, I remember when I first gave to Faith Promise, and I'm pretty sure I was like 12, and I don't think I kept my commitment. But then I became a little bit older, and I started to work a job, and I was able to give consistently and to Faith Promise, and I have seen God do some mighty things. And I believe it's just because I just kept my faith promise and did what God I promised to God. You know what? We have the church mortgage for the education building. You know, I believe that perhaps God has impressed on some of you to give some money towards that. And you say, well, we've been talking about it for almost a whole year now. And they're still asking for money. Well, it's not paid off yet, so they need some money. We need to pay it off still, okay? So until that is paid off, perhaps God is calling you to give towards that. You know, let's see what else. For those of you that are here that you haven't even figured out this salvation thing yet, God wants you to get your purpose straight, and he wants you to know that you're on your way to heaven. That's God's general purpose for each and every one of you. But when you're not sure about that, you're going to have a chaotic time, you're going to have a confusing time, and it's all just because you didn't follow God's word. You know, Pastor John, he doesn't preach from some random textbook that he got from a college professor. No, he preaches from God's word. Each person that stands up here, they preach from God's word. The same book that you have in your hand. The same book that you can get on your phone. The same book that you can get on your computer. So why don't you yourself go study God's word and see what his general purpose for you is. There is not enough time to preach today or really perhaps this whole month all the general purposes that God wants us to do. I mean, you could have a whole sermon on church attendance. You could have a whole sermon on tithing. You could have a whole sermon on love. There are all these general purposes that we can find in God's word. But when we're not reading it, when we're not studying it, then we're not going to know what it is. And we're going to be in a chaotic time and a confusing time. But what do we do when we're trying to find God's will or God's purpose? How do I know what God's purpose is? How do I know for sure? Well, let's just look at this story of Gideon. Right, we read it together just a little bit ago, and I apologize, Brother Grant. There were some big words in there, and I don't know how to say Abazarite either. I don't even know if I said that right, okay? But thank goodness the people that wrote it down aren't alive, so they can't correct us. But we just looked at a snippet of the story of Gideon. So let's just go back and remind ourselves. Gideon is during this time where the Midianites are oppressing. The Bible says that he's... In verse 11, he is threshing wheat by the wine press. Now, when you're, maybe there's farmers here. I grew up in Michigan, so I grew up next to a cornfield, and then there was fields everywhere, okay? And so I'm kind of used to this farming thing. And when you're farming, and specifically back here, when they're using wheat, there's chaff, and we've heard that Bible term before, and perhaps somebody has preached on it before, but it's just like the particles that you don't need, okay? So there's the seed, and then there's the rest of the plant that you don't want. You don't want to eat that, okay? So when you're threshing wheat, it's normally done in a high place so that the wind can come and blow that chaff, blow that extra stuff away so that you just have the seeds. But the Bible says right here that he's threshing wheat by the wine press. Wine presses were normally lower. They were in the ground. They were below the normal ground level so that the water and everything else, it would flow down there. And Gideon is down here because, remember, it's a chaotic time, and he's threshing wheat down here, not where they normally do it because he's hiding from the Midianites. And so he's down here and he's working, and then the Bible says there appeared this angel underneath a tree, so probably right by where Gideon is at. And I don't know about you, but if I'm hiding from people, if I'm like trying to get food, hiding from people, and then this dude appears out of nowhere behind me, I'm going to be a little bit concerned, okay? And this guy starts talking to him. And Gideon, we saw here that Gideon is just kind of confused. The angel says, you're a mighty man of valor. And notice here, Gideon does not realize that this is an angel of the Lord. He doesn't realize it. I mean, look at verse 13. He says, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us. So he doesn't realize that this is the Lord that is speaking to him. And verse 14, verse 15, again, he says, oh, my Lord. And just being respectful, but not realizing that it's the Lord. And then finally, he says, okay, if what you're telling me is true, let me at least go get you some food, because you got to be hungry. I don't know how long you've been sitting here watching me thresh wheat at the wine press, but let me go get you some food. So he goes back and he gets this person some food. He's just thinking he's being hospitable, and he brings the food, and the angel of the Lord tells him, hey, put it on the rocks, And he puts it on the rocks, and the angel of the Lord touches it with his staff, and then poof, it like blows up. And I just imagine it's like some giant explosion, or you know, like when the magician throws something down and then they disappear in the puff of smoke. I don't know. The Bible doesn't specifically say, and we didn't have video cameras back then. But so the angel of the Lord, he disappears into this smoke. However, the Lord worked it out. And then Gideon, look here in verse 22, and it says, when Gideon perceived, so finally, Gideon realizes that it's an angel of the Lord. It wasn't just some random prophet. It wasn't just some person that was trying to play a trick on him. No, it was something real. And when the angel of the when he perceived that it was the angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God!" Finally, he realizes this was God. This was God meeting with me. This was the Lord telling me something that I'm supposed to do. And he says, "I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto you, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord. You know, how do we figure out God's general, or how do we figure out God's purpose for our life? Well, I see right here, when God calls us, whether it's from His Word or perhaps the Holy Spirit is moving in your life, whenever God speaks to you, I see that there ought to be an altar made. Get an altar. Get an altar. Look here. We just went over it. Verse 14 through verse 24. The angel of the Lord is speaking to Gideon. "Hey, I want you to do something great for me. I know you don't think that you're great. You're saying that you're the least of your you're in the least tribe and you're the least of your family. But guess what, Gideon? I've got something great for you." And when finally Gideon realizes that it's God calling him to do that, the first thing he did is go tell his mom. No, he didn't go tell his brother. The first thing he did was he got an altar with the Lord. You know, I imagine Gideon for the next few chapters when God calls him, when he tells him to go destroy the Midianites and all that, those testings that he has to go through. I can just imagine Gideon maybe wondering, did God really call me to do that? And then he could look back and see that altar that he made. He could look back and see that time where he met with God. He could look back and see, "Hey, I know right then and there that God called me to do something. And I can go back and I can look at it. I can go back and I can see it. It's something physical. It's something I know that happened, that I met with God there." So church, let me ask you, where's your altar at? Where was the last time you met with God? When was it? You know, we ought to be in communication with God. Abraham made altars. Moses made altars. God's people made altars. All throughout Scripture, you can see where people made altars to the Lord, where they could go back. Think about when they crossed the Jordan River and they placed those stones on the Jordan River, where they could remember when God did something great, when God let them cross the Jordan River. Where is your altar at? You know what? Sometimes the devil might try to plant a seed of doubt of whether I know that I'm saved or not. But I can remember going to an altar when I was a kindergarten boy on the right steps of the church auditorium where we used to have chapel when I was a five-year-old boy. And I can remember that's where I met God for the first time. That's where I got saved. You know what? We have an altar call. We have a time where we can come to the altar and we can get in communication with God. When was the last time you came to the altar? When was the last time you came forward and you made a decision? When was it? Well, you know what? It's so easy for us to just sit in our seats and say, "Well, yeah, I'm going to do that." And then you go home and you turn on the news channel or you watch the Commanders lose again. And then you forget all about that decision that you made, right? How many of us has that happened to us before where you decided to make a decision? I mean, it's happened to me. I'll have both hands up, whether it's at camp or whether it's sitting here in a church service, wherever it was at. I can remember where I said, "Well, I don't need to go to the altar this time. And it's okay. I'll just take care of it right here in my seat." And I'm not saying if you can't come to the altar, I'm not saying that. But what I'm trying to make a point is, when was the last time you know that you were serious with God? I mean, that's really what the altar's all about. It's just saying, hey, you know what? This is serious. I need to come forward and show God that I'm serious about this thing that he wants me to do. You know, it'd be okay today. It'd be okay if you came forward and got an altar with God about tithing. It'd be okay. You know, it'd be okay if you came forward and you said, Lord, you know what? I'm making a commitment. I'm making an altar right here today, right here, that I'm going to love love everyone else. Okay, maybe you struggle with that. Maybe for these younger children, maybe your brother. It's just hard to love your brother. I don't know why that could be. And maybe it's because when I was growing up, I felt like it was my purpose to annoy my sisters. So maybe they had a hard time loving me. Whether it might be, when was the last time you came to the altar? Come on, church. We need to know that you're in communication with God. He doesn't just want us to talk with him once a week. I mean, he'd love for us to talk with him. The Bible says pray without ceasing, constant communication with God. So how's your communicating with God? How is it? Do you know the last time you met with God? When was it? Get an altar. I also see how Gideon figured out God's purpose for his life. Well, let's look at verse 36. Verse 33, it talks about the army of the Midianites is gathering. And let me back up and say this. Sometimes getting an altar takes removing something else. Right after Gideon made an altar here, God said, hey, your dad, he's got something wicked. He's got an altar to Baal. Go take that out. Remove it. Get rid of it. No, church, sometimes getting alone with God, meeting with God, getting an altar, it means we've got to take something else out of our life. It's got to happen. I mean, we have the flesh and we have the spirit, and they're constantly warring. And sometimes we've got to take some things that feed the flesh, and they might not necessarily be bad for everybody, but for you, it's feeding the flesh, and you've got to take it out. Sometimes getting an altar means removing something from our life. We might have to do it. Verse 33, it talks about the Midianites. They're preparing to oppress the Israelites again. They've got a giant army. They're there. But 34, it says, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And he blew a trumpet, and whatever that word that Brother Grant and I can't say was gathered after him. And Gideon starts to grab an army. He starts to prepare the nation of Israel. Because, I mean, they have to defend. They have to defend themselves. Otherwise, the Midianites are going to oppress them even more. Perhaps they'll take their families away. They don't know what's going to happen. So Gideon, through the Lord, is preparing an army. But he's still a little bit unsure of what God wants him to do. We see here that Gideon is getting assurance. In verse 36, it says, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Okay, he's clinging to the promise that God has given him. Saying, hey, God, you said you want me to do this. Okay, they didn't have the full word of God. Gideon didn't have Judges chapter 7. He didn't get to find out what happened. Okay, so he's getting assurance from God that this is what you've called me to do. And so he lays out a fleece, and I believe the first time he said, let the fleece be wet and the ground around it be dry. And then he did it again, except it was the opposite. Let the ground be wet and the fleece be dry. He got some assurance from God. You know what, church? It's not wrong to get assurance from the Word of God, right? It's not, they didn't have the complete Word of God back then, but we can make the application that now we do. And so if you're unsure about something that God is calling you to do, then why don't you just get in the book and find out? Get some assurance from God's Word. Well, is tithing really? Like, I mean, Pastor John preaches about money all the time. And is that really something that God wants us to do? Well, why don't you get us some assurance from God's Word? Why don't you just study the book and find out, is that really something that you're supposed to do? You know, God is never going to call us to do something contrary to God's Word. He's never going to call us to do something opposite of God's Word. And I don't think it's wrong to get counsel from godly men. And we have some godly men up here. And Pastor John, Brother Williams, I don't think you should come to me for counsel because I'm only 22. So I haven't lived life enough yet. Okay? Don't come to me. I'm even wary when like teenagers try to come to me and ask me questions. I try to defer it away. But you can go to godly men and ask them some counsel and get in God's Word and find out, is this really something God wants me to do? I mean, I don't think, I don't think God wants us to skip out on church on Sunday. Right, Brother Grant? I don't think that's His general will for us, right? I mean, we could look in the Bible, like we just said. He wants us to be church attenders. I don't know why the Lord keeps pointing out church attendance. Maybe it's because there's some people here who struggle with that. And God wants to bless us through His Word, and God wants us to be in church, like we just said. But you can look in the Scripture and find out what God wants for you. You can get some assurance from God's Word. So first, you got to get an altar with God. Hey, maybe God is moving in your life, asking you to do something, and you come to the altar and you say, hey, I met with God. It doesn't have to be here. Maybe it's at home. Maybe it's just writing down your decision in your Bible. You know, I have some decisions written down in my Bible. And in my other Bible as well. And I remember there was a message preached on January of last year. And the preacher preached on loving others. And I wrote that down in my Bible. That I met with God and said, I need to have a heart for other people. Not just myself, not just my friends, not just the people I'm around, but a heart for other people. You know, it doesn't just have to be coming to the altar. But writing down, knowing when you met with God. So you got to get an altar, and then you got to get insurance. I mean, get in God's Word and find out, is this really what God wants for you? Find out, is this really what God's Word says about it? Get assurance. And then when you've got an altar, when you've got assurance, look at chapter 7. I mean, we don't have time to go through go through the whole story, but Gideon, God starts to weed down the army. And he starts with a large number, and it starts to get smaller and smaller and smaller until there's only just a little bit of men left. And Gideon, nowhere do you see where Gideon is questioning God and saying, hey, what do you want me to do, God, here? He just does exactly what God has called him to do. Once you get an altar, once you get assurance, once you get confirmation from God's Word, church, it's just time to get all in. He just got all in on what God asked him to do. You know what? God asked him to lead the army. All right, Lord, whatever you want me to do. Okay, these people, they can't be a part of it. All right, I'll send them away. You want the army to be even smaller? Okay, Lord, I'll make it even smaller. You want it even smaller, Lord? All right, I'll do that too. You want me to bring a pitcher and a torch and a trumpet? This is a sword fight, Lord. What are you talking about? I need a pitcher and a trumpet. What? But he got all in on what God asked him to do. You don't see where he's questioning what God asked him. After he met with God, after he set up something knowing that he met with God, after he got assurance from the Lord, he just got all in on what God asked him to do. Church, it's time that we get all in on what God has asked us to do. Church, it's time that we get all in the ministries that Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church has. We have the bus ministry, right, Brother Kidwell? Do we need some bus drivers? You know, it's time that we as Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church get all in the bus ministry. I went to college for 4 years. I was able to be part of the bus ministry, and I got to teach bus children, and the bus ministry is great. But we need people to help in it. We need bus drivers. Did we even have all the buses drive this? We did. Praise the Lord, we had all the buses. I know last week we didn't get to have all the buses driving because we were missing some drivers. Church, we ought to have a surplus of bus drivers. We ought to have a surplus of bus workers. We ought to have to figure out how are we going to fit bus workers, how are we going to go to different areas because we have a surplus, not because we're missing out on people. Church, it's time to get all in. Sunday school teacher, it's time to get all in on your class. It's time to get all in on them. Have you had somebody that's been missing for a couple of weeks, maybe a month or so? Man, they used to be faithful. Where are they at? Sunday school teacher, it's time to get all in on the ministry that God has called you to do. It's time to get all in on this tithing thing. It's time to get all in on this faith promise thing. It's time to get all in on missions. Missions is the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that this church has a huge heart for missions. But what about you personally? Are you all in on missions? It's time to get all in on this Great Commission thing. It's time to get all in on what God has called us to do to reach other people for the cause of Christ. And we shouldn't only have like 5 people at Tuesday night soul winning. We shouldn't, church. We should have more people. We should have more people than just the bus captain showing up for the bus meeting on Saturday. We should have more than a handful of men showing up for men's prayer once a month. Well, we should have people getting all in on the ministry that God has called us to do. And if you're saying, well, I don't know what ministry God has for me, well, you can talk to Brother Kidwell, Brother Rubio, Brother Grant. They have ministries that you can get all in on. You know, I think, what, don't we still need crossing guards out during the school days? You can get all in on that. Well, that's not something huge and significant. Everybody can't see me. Well, not everybody has to see you. You just get all in for God. Get all in for what He wants you to do. And I'm not just preaching to young people. I'm preaching to the adults that are here. It's time that we get all in for God. It's time that we meet with God. We get assurance from God's Word. Is this thing biblical? Okay, it is. Then it's just time that I get all in and do what God wants me to do. Come on, church. It's time we get all in. You know, once we get all in, man, God can do some miraculous things. You know, I'm just thinking about this story. Gideon, he's getting all in, and he just sends some spies to go in, just see like how the Midianites are doing. Because, I mean, they know that God's going to do something great for them. And these spies hear these two Midianites talking about a dream that they had. And they're like, yeah, the Midianites are talking. I just had this dream that this guy Gideon came in and like obliterated us. I mean, that's a crazy dream, right? And he's talking with the Midianite friend about it. And Gideon knows from that, man, God is doing something miraculous, and that this guy just had a dream. Isn't that, I mean, I would think that, I remember reading that. I'm like, whoa, that's pretty crazy that this guy just had a random dream about Gideon. But it's of the Lord. And Gideon got to see some awesome things. I mean, just imagine going home and telling his friends, yeah, this dude had a dream that we wiped him out. And then guess what? We wiped him out. We took him out. And when you get all in for God, you get to see some awesome things happen. You get to see some miraculous things happen. You get to have all these great stories that you can tell. Church, it's time that we get all in for God. You know, we talked about that football player that you talked with on the plane. You know, what would happen if he turned to you, said, hey, what do you do? What is your job? Well, I just work 9 to 5. That's all I do. I go home. You know, I go to church on Sunday. What? I mean, if we're all in on God, if that person were to ask me, if somebody, I've had a few people talk to me on the airplane and say, well, I go to Bible college and I'm a part of the ministry. I'm training to be in the ministry and whatever it is. But what about you? If they were to ask you, would you see that as an opportunity to show that you're all in for Christ? Well, I work a job, but let me tell you about something miraculous. I get to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. I get to be a part of Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. You know what? Let me tell you about Jesus, what He's done for me, and what He can do for you. Church, if that wouldn't be like our first thought when somebody new meets us, shame on us. We're not all in for God. If God isn't the first thing that comes to our mind when we're meeting somebody new, when we're sharing with somebody about our life, shame on us. It's time for us to get all in for God. Get in. He got an altar. He met with God. He got assurance from God, from God's Word. He got confidence. He found confidence in the Word of the Lord, in God calling him to do something. And then he just got all in. How about you? Are you all in? Are you all in for the Lord? Are you a part of everything? I'm not saying stretch yourself thin so that you don't have time for your family and everything else. That's not what I'm saying. But church, it's time that we get all in the ministry. And the ministry isn't just for the assistant pastors and the Sunday school teachers. The ministry is for each and every one of us. And it's time that we get all in. It's time that we get all in. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for just the power of your word and this great truth from Gideon. And how, Lord, you just want us to get purpose for our life. God, you have purpose for us. You want each and every person here to have purpose, Lord. And no doubt, Lord, there are people here that you are prompting on their heart that you have a purpose for them. Holy Spirit, you're moving in our lives saying, hey, there is purpose for you. And God, in a moment when we have this invitation time, would you prompt these people to get an altar with you today? And then search your scripture and get assurance, Lord. And may we as a church get all in for you. Get all in for you. Church, let's stand. Let's stand with every head bowed and every eyes closed as the piano begins to play.